As I've dated, I've explored relationships with all types of men, and most often, black men. Lately, I've been thinking about expanding my dating pool again, looking beyond my community, and I'm curious about what this new exploration of experiences could mean for me, particularly at this age, because I've done it before, exploring dating outside, you know, when I was in my 20s, and I just haven't. Then I got married for like 1,000 years. So now I'm back out in the swimming pool. Yeah, these, there's pee in the pool. Okay, apparently. Okay, it's what everybody tells me. But I'm back out here in these streets. And so now, you know, reconsidering dating outside my race at this age is a little different than when I was in my 20s. Like when I go on the dating app now and I say I'm open, the men that come my way are real interesting. You know, no matter how explicit I am about my progressive, not democratic leaning, just straight up progressive democratic self, I still get these ultra conservative men, white men, that are hitting me up.
Really?
And like,
what do they say?
Girl, I know you're black, but I'm open to exploring a relationship or talking to you, as though they're doing me a favor. They're bending their rules to be with me. I get that so much. I'm like, what in the entire hell?
But you're cute, Cheryl.
Yeah, they got to do me no favor. Okay. It was shocking to me. Like, why are you calling me? I mean, we don't align on many things, clearly, based on our profile. So why, and you're, you know, making an exception for me, apparently this is, you say, isn't your thing.
Right.
So what's up with that? So I was just like, you know, being in my late 50s, dating outside my race, I don't know. I see, on TV, like HGTV, they got all these, like, you know, mixed, you know, relationships, and it seems really like, oh, okay. And then what shows up in that app, though, is not what you see on TV. No, this is not working for me. And, you know, like I said, I've dated in my 20s, dated outside my race, dated outside my religion. Mm-hmm. So that isn't new, but what is new is at this age, being open to dating outside and my race and what's coming. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Cheryl Jackson, here with Jennifer Shea Love Long and our magical producer, Brianna Garrett. Taylor's out, but today we're here talking about interracial relationships, our experiences with them, and chatting about if their controversy is still relevant in the 21st century.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Where are you standing on the issue? Let's just say that. Where do you stand on the issue of dating outside black women?
I'm open to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm at the place in my life where I am looking at the character. I'm looking at the person. I'm looking at not necessarily what they look like, mm-hmm. but more about who they are, you know, because the reality is, this has been my experience. You might date a guy who's very handsome, very attractive, but all the other things just really are not there, you know? Mm-hmm. So the external part is not as important to me anymore as the internal part. So if you happen to be of a different ethnicity, that's not a deterrent for me, per se. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say I have a certain group of people that tend to be attracted to me.
Which are?
Typically black men, you know. But I also, you know, I've been approached by Latino men and also Indian men.
Black men are attracted to you.
Yes.
But you said you got blanks in different area codes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, do you have a type, though?
Do I have a type? Well, okay, if I had a type, I am a sapiophile. I love someone who is super intelligent, who can have a strong, rich conversation. Someone who is adventurous, you know, who loves to, like, experience different things, loves trying new foods, loves traveling, will literally pick up and go. And physically, you know, I would like somebody tall, like, you know, 6'3", 4'5", 6", you know, this tall.
So how tall are you? Yeah. How tall are you?
I'm 5'1½"
On a good day. On a good day.
On her tippy toes. Okay.
So with that being said, that means you kind of want like either a Scandinavian, right? Because they come real tall, I hear.
Yeah, Samoan.
A Samoan.
Yeah.
A man.
A New Zealander.
A New Zealand. Okay.
I'm trying to be a citizen.
Yes. And perhaps a black man.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe a basketball player. Who knows?
Maybe.
Okay.
You know, I'm open.
Yeah. You but be I mean, hanging with some celebrities too, girl.
Yeah.
Okay. But what do you mean when you say you're open? Like, you're open to anybody that can approach, you know, as long as they have those qualities. They're smart. They're adventurous. You're open?
Yeah, I'm open. Mm-hmm. I'm genuinely open. I think that there is a natural attraction, right, that you gravitate to someone and can be. Like, I do look for energy and chemistry, you know, but I am open to that. Like, I'm not married to the way somebody looks outwardly. I really am focused on what they look like inwardly.
Really?
And can they pick me up?
And they must be tall. Okay.
Right. Oh my. And they got to be smart. And I'm going to Harvard. And I'm playing.
If only were that easy to attract that type, though.
Yeah.
But you're attracting white men, huh, Cheryl? You said.
Yeah, apparently on this app, for sure.
Are you giving off like a I want pink type of pheromone or what is it?
I don't know. You tell me. I want somebody explain it to make it make sense. Explain it to me. I don't. The issue isn't that I'm attracting white men. Mm-hmm. The issue on this app is that I'm attracting a certain type of white man.
Mm.
And what I'm confused about is the type of man, white man, that I'm attracting. I don't know how to explain this and to make certain that I'm, you know, being appropriate.
Enough said.
Okay, enough said.
Yeah,
okay.
I think we got it.
So that's my issue is the type.
Well, have you ever dated outside of your race before, like
yes,
in a more
I have.
Serious capacity, both of y'all?
I got married right at 31, so in my 20s. One, kind of serious. When our relationship didn't go to the end, I showed up at his wedding. I was invited to his wedding. He married someone else, clearly. And I met his mom. I had not mad as his family, but at the wedding, I met his mom. She comes to me. She was so curious about me. She's like, "We thought you were going to be in our family." I was like, "I didn't know we were that." He was that serious about me. It was news to me. Okay,
right.
So,
or maybe he was just excited to have a black daughter-in-law.
Right, right.
Have you seen her black daughter-in-law? Right. Look at her hair.
Right, but you know, he was marrying someone else, not black.
Right.
He was white. He was Jewish, and I was living in Memphis. We both were in Memphis at the time, and I just remember I didn't think anything of it. It was someone, you know, we both worked at the same place, and we just kind of a friendship, and you know, evolved over time. And I didn't really think anything of it until we would go out to dinner or to lunch, and people would stare at us like we were a three-headed monster or something. I just remember being struck by the stares. Mm-hmm. And I guess now that I think about it, it's Memphis. It was Memphis in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It probably gone maybe the whole way, but I just, you know, I think I showed a lot of natural curiosity about his background and his life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel that was fully reciprocated. I'm like, who am I going to talk about, you know, memes or great lines from, you know, the Jeffersons or Good Times with? Or I just, who's going to have that shared sort of background?
Like the cultural knowledge.
The cultural knowledge, mm-hmm. I think.
But there are some, you know, Jewish boys that get down, you know?
Yeah, well.
That know what they're talking about.
And, right.
are interested in your community and in your heritage. And
yeah.
Some, I would say, a little bit too invested, like the ones that approach, I know for me,
okay,
I've gotten a
yes.
lot of white
yeah,
boys
okay,
that have approached
us.
Me, and I might have had my hair in braids, I might have had my hair in twists, or like faux locks, and like, I love your cornrows. And that's like the standard line, because they're like, this is how I can attract her. She'll know that I'm down. She'll know that I've seen hair shop or beauty shop or something like that.
Can I say this, that mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
What I see a lot of when it's a white woman with a black man, mm-hmm. what I see a lot is black women who are wearing their hair natural, you know, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's twist outs, you know, braids, but they're with white men. I see a lot of that particular combination. And it's curious to me. Have you noticed that?
Well, what I've noticed, and I've noticed this just in Atlanta, for mm-hmm. example, is a increase in just that mix of people, right? Mm-hmm. Mix of couples. And like, for example, I was at this birthday party a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and one of my friends, you know, she wears dreads, and she was like, "Hey, Jennifer, I'd like to introduce you to my boyfriend," right?
Uh-oh.
And it was this white gentleman. He was a little bit older, mm-hmm. and I was like, he is loving on her and doting on her, and she is showing that same energy and affection back. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been seeing, you know, is like mm-hmm. couples like that who, you know, it feels like specifically for her, because I know she's gone through a divorce, but like specifically for her, it just feels like she's found a person who values her, who loves mm-hmm. her, who, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever reason he's attracted to her, he is loving on her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, back to the energy,
yeah.
you know, just sort of this sincere interest and desire to kind of be with this person, you know? And so, and I don't know what their circumstances mm-hmm. were, because,
right.
you know, he could have been a sugar daddy, you know?
Okay.
You know. But, you know.
No hate.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, you know, that to me is why it is so important now to just find your person that makes you feel special, that makes you feel loved regardless of what they look like.
Yeah. I also think it's different for black women, though.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I will definitely root for the black girl if I see her with, you know, she could be with her Latin king.
Yeah.
I think that's also a gang. So no affiliation here.
Right.
All right. You know, she could be with her Jewish king. She could right. be with, you know, whomever. And I'll say, okay, well, I'm more likely to think that in that relationship, there's less fetishization.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Coming from her part. There's less of a desire for like that upward mobility that you might see
mm-hmm.
In certain black men, not all, but some black men who think themselves as like dating up when they are with a non-black woman.
Mm.
And I mean specifically the black men that base their preferences off of what that person is not.
Exactly.
But but when it's a black woman that I see, you know, in love, happy, you know, I want to root for her. We
yeah.
want her happiness because I think at the end of the day, if within our community, we're getting bashed by our own brethren sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she's able to find that love and that nurturing and that care from someone else who doesn't necessarily share her same hue,
mm-hmm.
but they treat her well,
mm-hmm.
then I think that's just fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I want to talk about. This
what
dynamic.
You want to talk about,
sure. Okay, this dynamic.
There's a dynamic. Okay,
okay
tell
there's
us.
There's a dynamic. So I agree with you. You know, love is love. You meet someone and they appreciate you as a mutual, you know, respect, love, all that. That's, you know, shouldn't matter. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter what hue, color, as long as they're happy. But when it's about something else other than, you know, when
yeah.
it's about a status, simple, or I want to be with someone, anyone but a black girl. You know, I see this on social media a lot. I mean, we see this playing out, you know. Unfortunately, sometimes with athletes and other, you know, successful
yeah.
black men who are choosing, you know, seemingly, or the criticism or the discussion is
yeah.
it's anyone but a black woman
mm-hmm.
they want to be with because of
XYZ. Got it.
Status, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dispiriting in a way, because it feels like, you know.
Well, would you want him anyway?
Yeah.
No, right. Not for me personally.
No, I know.
But for black
but it's like,
women.
Do you even.
Someone that hates himself would never be on our radar.
Right. But
right.
But to your point is that the reason why I think you, it kind of brings, puts a smile on your face when you see a black woman with, even if it's a white man who is loving on her,
mm-hmm.
that someone appreciates her.
Yeah.
values her, because, you know, we struggle with that, mm-hmm. you know. And so why are we struggling with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good example here.
Go ahead.
On a reality show. It's a show where the producers and psychologists look at profiles mm-hmm. of people before they, and then they match people up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, which one is that?
Married at First Sight.
Okay. So
I've also seen many a season, so
okay.
I know.
Okay, Married at First Sight. Well, they did one apparently episode that went viral. It was a lot of discussion mm-hmm. in the media,
yeah.
where the producers wanted to sort of look more deeply into this issue challenge that we're having, where, you know, they were having a difficult time matching Black women because Black women only wanted to be with Black men, and they said Black men wanted to be with anyone other than a Black woman. That, I don't know, something about that.
But okay.
I'm not checking for a man that doesn't want to be checking for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But just as my womanhood, you know, for Black women, for sisters, that's how I find dispiriting. It's upsetting.
That's a strong statement, though. Like, because I think that there are a lot of Black men that want to be with Black women, right? Like,
absolutely.
in the instance of that show, what I would question is, who are the producers? Who do they have access to be able to corral the people to be on this show?
Like what's
their
the data
profile?
Pool?
Right. Like, what is where they're getting their, you know, where are they getting their information? It may just be only limited to the circle of people that they know. But what I know, and just my experiences, I think that Black men really do love Black women, right?
Really?
And I think that there is a desire to be with us. I think there's a desire to be with a lot of women, be honest with you.
If we're going to be honest,
okay? That it's more about that than it is, you know.
When you look at social media, when you look at, there is a thing. There is a, at least the social media I'm reading, okay?
I think both of your guys' points right. are valid, because mm-hmm. we'd be remiss to believe, like, that rhetoric doesn't exist.
Right.
Because there are people like that. And in that specific pool, that might have been what was specific to that data pool.
Yeah.
But there are also many of Black men. Many of my exes, hey, shout out to you guys. Love you, Mitch. Just kidding, I don't. That's why we got together. But, you know, many of my exes are Black men. Right. And then yeah. some of them weren't Black men. But I think, you know, conversely, we can say that both of those things are true at the same time.
Yeah.
So there are some men that will not want to be with Black women, but those are just those types of men. And this is where I want to ask y'all, do you believe in preference? Do you believe in having a preference?
Yeah.
It's okay to have a preference.
Okay.
You mean a preference in ethnicity, or just a preference in, like, hey, I like this person?
No, a preference in ethnicity. A preference in
yes.
how someone phenotypically shows up.
Yes.
And then what are your guys' preferences and why?
Well, I guess my preference is I like Black men. I find them to be very attractive. Mm-hmm. I'm attracted to them, you
yes.
know? I think also, if we're being honest, mm-hmm. it is about region where you are, right? Because,
talk about it.
For example, growing up in New Mexico, like, you know, it would be customary for a Black guy to probably date someone that is Latino or white mm. or even Indian, because that's
mm-hmm.
who's around them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There aren't many Black women mm-hmm. there, you know, so their pool of who they are going to connect with and resonate with is going to be that. Right. You know, if I think about just like how I grew up and the men that I saw in my family and in my life, I'm like, oh, you know, these are men that I would like to be connected to in this way, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
and obviously they were Black men, you know, so that's maybe why I have an affinity for them. Mm-hmm. But also just based on regionally where I was open to also dating other men as well.
What about you, Cheryl? Do you have a preference?
I do. I guess my preference, Black men, just because that's my shared cultural. We have a shared cultural sort of framework
language
yeah. and experiences. So
yeah.
it's easier.
Yeah.
But I am, you know, definitely. I think that Black women have to and should be open.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be, you want love, you know, you want to be in a relationship, particularly as a Black woman, you have got to consider.
Yeah.
And consider dating outside your race.
Oh, not we have to consider. Not the pool is so shallow that we got to go outside.
I'm trying to
Listen.
Tell you, I be feeling like it's kind of abundant.
Okay, I like an abundant mentality.
I do.
But
I
also mean, there's different factors to abundance, depending on proximity.
Well, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because I'm in a majority, in Memphis, a majority black city.
Yeah.
But the, I mean, it is like a lot of interracial relationships. You see people together. Cool. Mm-hmm. So it's not really about proximity because there's plenty of black people, black women to choose from. Mm-hmm. Or for black men to choose from, but there's a lot of, I was really struck by that, you know, lot of interracial.
Mm-hmm. And is it both ways?
Probably heavier black men with white women.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I don't believe in. I believe in preference because like how you guys were saying, mm-hmm. like it's okay from your own community to maybe prefer a man that also comes from your shared community. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe in exclusionary preference in that now I say,
yes.
I will X out this.
Anybody
this,
but.
Right.
You know, anybody but this.
Yes.
And that's what
yes.
I feel like can sometimes get convoluted in relationships because all of a sudden, you know, people are like, okay, yeah, I'll date outside of my race. She can be Latina, but she can't be Afro-Latina.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. You know, she can be something, but she can't have a certain, you know, one drop in her. And that's when it gets weird. Then there's also fetishization, of course, too, where it's like, now I only want a black girl because she represents X, Y, Z. I think that she's going to be a little freakier intimately. I think she's going to be.
I think
a little
that's
more,
what
you know,
I'm concerned about with the app situation.
Uh-oh. Like, I think that's what the history
I think. I wonder.
But they may be able to pick you up.
In the tractor. In the tractor. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I mean, like, try it.
I don't want to. What I would hate for you to be is somebody's repentance journey.
Exactly.
Where they're like, back in the day, I didn't mess with y'all, you know?
Right.
Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. Okay? Tell them. If you wasn't there with me.
I feel like there's something else underlying going on. You are checking the boxes for being ultra politically conservative. All of these things.
Let me find
out. So, okay. Here, I want to know. Have you talked to them? Have you had a conversation?
It was too scary for me to go past a text, a DM situation.
You're like, I can't.
Oh, I can't. I can't. But to your point about, you know, this kind of fetishization or exclusionary preference. I love the way you rephrase that, exclusionary preference. My nephew was at a university. I won't say the name of the university, but it was a well-known story in the news where a black young man was a part of this white fraternity, and he hosted a no black girls party.
Oh,
it was all y'all can Google it.
Give me
y'all
your
listening.
Card.
Okay,
I'm ripping it up.
Is East Coast?
Wow.
Is that kind of stuff? Maybe I'm on the wrong side of social media. Okay, where I'm
this is the thing. I think it exists, but the opposite exists too. You know, like it's not an either or, both things. It's an and. Like these things are existing at the same time.
I believe that.
This is what I discovered about people is you have to get to know the person, because the reality is, and I'm not trying to be, you know, la 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 about this, but even a black man can be horrible, right? Like even in wanting, I know.
Girl.
Oh, okay. surprise.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, it does, that's the point. It's kind of like a person can be horrible regardless of the color of their skin. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They can also be extraordinarily loving and wonderful regardless of the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you have to give the same, you know, sort of opportunity to discover that in order to determine, hey, this is what's for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, when we done here, we calling.
Call him.
Uh-oh.
I will
Come
say
on,
one
Cheryl,
thing. I'm
going to
play something over here. Listen, I hear Jennifer's point about, you know, love is love. See the person, see the humanity in them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also say when entering interracial relationships, I think there has to be an understanding that there's going to be some work done.
Yeah.
So like not just emotional work, but literally I need you to do some reading.
Yes.
I need us to have an understanding of my history and how when we step in different spaces, it might impact me differently at times.
Right.
How certain events in the world might impact me differently or impact you differently.
Right.
And how can we show up in the similar way for each other there?
Right.
And then I would also just be like, to your point earlier, Cheryl, about like, you know, sometimes feeling undesired by your community.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, I think Taylor brought that up one time about like saying the black boys weren't checking for as much as other people.
Right.
So I understand that, and I have actually experienced that before.
If,
but and I'm like, what y'all doing? What, right. What's really going on? Come right. on, Tyrone, hit me up.
You better call Tyrone.
Okay, actually, don't hit me up though, Tyrone. If you got no job, I want you.
I know that's right. You got no money.
Then you can't even use my phone.
Okay. But actually, no, Tyrone was actually the friend, not the broke buster.
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll call him Carl.
Okay.
But no, I think there is an envy that I feel sometimes as a black girl within our community when we're dating, because it feels like sometimes like you never really hear about other ethnic groups necessarily bashing their own and
right.
in that like mm-hmm. you know I want to make this person more masculine and I want to you know take away her femininity in some ways and mm-hmm. I want right. to you know like how they did to Michelle Obama so many times
yes.
right.
during President Obama's run as president. And so I think a lot about the work that has to be done now that I have to heal from this. First of all, I got people over here talking crazy about me behind my back. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know y'all talking about your necks. And then number two, now I'm with you and we're getting these stares every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think about like just how you receive differently in different places. Even with that person, like how you were saying, Jennifer, in New Mexico, you were Bower's butt to some
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you went to your HBCU mm-hmm. where you know, good googly moogly, mm-hmm. that thing is juicy, was valued differently.
That's right.
You got to experience yourself differently
That's
in that
right.
space. And so I think similarly, just when we talk about geography, when
yes.
we talk about history,
yes.
talk about all of that.
You know, it's funny you say that because I remember this girl who I grew up with. She, of course, grew up in New Mexico. And we did like this thing where you come back from college, you talk to other kids who are about to go off to college.
Mm-hmm.
She came back and she was like, she went to Howard, and she was like, when she lived in New Mexico, nobody was checking for her, ever.
See?
You know, she, beautiful girl, just beautiful. But anyway, so she goes to Howard, and she's like, can't even, you know, can't beat him off with a stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like, and so the point is, you know, it's also where you are,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, in any place, it's like, who, there is a... Mm-hmm. a thing happening even in that environment, mm-hmm. you know? So
it is.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Because when I was, you know, in Memphis, I mean, I was olive oil. I didn't have no T or A, okay?
And what could that mean, Cheryl? What does
no
T and A mean?
T or A, all right? And with nobody checking for me in Memphis. But then I went up north. And I realized my body type was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but it still was a thing, not for necessarily the brothers. Okay,
right. uh-huh.
It was that's when I first realized that I had a little bit of a following. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Ask Curious City anything about the Chicago area. Yeah, anything.
My dad was reminded of a cafe on Sheridan called It's Here. So I was wondering if there's any information on the folk music scene in Chicago then and now.
Send your questions to wbez.org/curiouscity. And it could be the focus of a future episode.
Have y'all been following the story about Travis Kelce and Kayla, his ex-girlfriend, black girlfriend, Kayla Nicole?
I've been following
Is
that they
Taylor
need to let
Swift
that girl...
Guy? No,
yeah, Taylor Swift's guy
okay.
now. I've been following yeah. the fact that they need to let that black girl live and let her
I know, right?
be. You know, she dated him. He's in the public view, yes, but it's over and done with. Let her be free.
Right.
Now, and he did have a good shape up when he was with her.
Yes.
Looking a little rough these days, Chad. I don't know why. I don't know where your lining go, where your fade
right,
go.
Right.
yeah.
I know his look has changed, ain't it?
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, what about that story, though?
So she was getting it from both ends, you know, from black folks that are like, that's what you get when you step outside the black community, outside of our community to uh-huh. date someone. She's getting it from us.
Okay.
And she was getting it from white people, you know?
Ew.
I mean, that's the thing I felt for. I was reading her full story.
Yeah.
And that was, You know, so she wrote a letter to Dear Black Women, Black Girl. She called it Dear Black Girl. Mm-hmm. And it was really moving and powerful. And I think that that's a real part of the narrative mm-hmm. that Black women are dealing with. And it's just, you know, it's puzzling to me. Now, be clear, I'm carrying my own baggage of being raised in a just out of Jim Crow South, okay, Memphis.
Yeah.
And so that I had a different experience than mm-hmm, you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know when I was a kid, I used to have a couple crushes on some white boys, but not just white boys. I had a crush on everybody because I believe men are like cookies. You know, I want to try all the flavors. Okay. And if you're trying to pull up, here's my number. It's, no, but I remember when I was a kid, like, similar to Jennifer's experience, mm-hmm. you know, liking a ray of men. That's mm-hmm. because of the environment that I was in. I was like mm-hmm. surrounded by a pretty integrated school, mm-hmm. you know, and we all liked the Jonas Brothers at one point, mm-hmm. and I was never a One Direction big fan, but some of them were cute, but they got to work on the teeth. Shout out the British. Love y'all. Okay. We working on it. But I think that that's fine. And I think with this current generation, when I look at millennials, like mm-hmm. millennials and Gen Zers, yeah. I'm not saying that we are ahead and that we're like not thinking about these issues, mm-hmm. because trust me, we are. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about them, especially, I think it's just coming from a more collaborative point of view.
Yeah.
And that, like how I was saying earlier, if we're going to be together, here are some of these things that I need you to right. understand about me and my identity mm-hmm. and right. about that. So that way we don't have any of these conflicts where you're coming into this conversation ignorantly.
Right.
And now you say something stupid. Right. And now I got to, you know, oops upside your head. But, right. but we don't condone domestic violence, obviously. Domestic violence. But that's what's important, I think, yeah. you know?
And I do think it's a generational mm-hmm.
yeah.
difference.
Yeah. Because yeah. I think to your point about mm-hmm. intent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, hey, if you're entering into, like, I want to learn versus I'm judging what your experience is like
yes.
based on what I've seen in the past or
yes.
what I've read or what I've looked at in a magazine,
yes.
that's a different way to engage in relationship with somebody when it is interracial than mm-hmm. it is if you're just learning. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even with my own kids, I mm-hmm. see my son and daughter. They both have been engaged in different interracial, you know, friendships and relationships.
Right.
And you know, it just seems to be a sort of openness of like, I'm interested in this person. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there is like a genuine interest in the person and
yeah.
like learning about them,
yeah.
you know?
Jake likes anime just like I like anime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah, Jake.
So.
Well, that's what we. I think that's what we. You know, all want to be mm-hmm. is you're with someone because of that person.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to be understood.
And
yes.
you want to be understood. You want to be seen.
Like, as I'm done looking at people and being like, let's be together. Like, because
yeah.
it's just, there's nothing. There's no substance.
You could be
you
fine
know?
As fudge, but you're going to send me to hell because you're over here doing crack in your mama's basement.
Exactly.
All right, I need to know that. Very specific. Very specific. But, you know, I get what you're saying, though, Jennifer. Like, I need to feel that
yes.
energy, that spiritual connection, so that I know that there's something more beyond.
Yes.
Because I could be with somebody that might share, you know, similar language and cultural background with
That's
me.
Right.
But you really don't understand me, and you really don't get, you know, my quirks and my
right.
idiosyncrasies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll see. So what are your guys' new frameworks for dating, then? You know, if we're talking about interracial relationships.
You know, my framework is this. I'm okay with someone who's outside of my race not knowing about my culture.
Mm-hmm.
All I need for that person is to be genuinely curious
mm-hmm.
and want to lean in and
yeah.
learn more and know more. That is all that I require. You ain't got to do the homework ahead of time. You ain't got to show me your chops that you know what's up with my hair, okay? Or my heritage or my food.
Yeah.
Just be curious.
Be curious. And yeah, come correct.
Yes, just be, you ain't got to come correct. Just, you can say goofy stuff, you can say not know,
yeah.
But come with some humility
yeah.
and curiosity. That's it. And that's a wrap for today's episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Long, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
You can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E.
And you can find me, Brianna Garrett, on Instagram at Project Reality. That's Project, like Project Pat, Reality.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and a part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett.
Ow!
Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Production assistance by Justin Bull. Engineering by Maria Lopez. See y'all next week.
I'm about to set you up.
Ooh. I know.
Okay. Ooh,
let's do it.
I really was trying to get Cheryl in my family, y'all. I really tried to put you with my uncle. It's too late, but I got another one. And he still got a girlfriend status. So, hey, ain't no ring on it. I'm finna send you a new one. Oh, my gosh.